This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Recording on. Okay. It says it's recording. So, lo alayt l'natzchem. Okay, good. Where are we holding here? That's another issue. Can someone remind me where we got up to, or...
I think we got up to, according to Matisyahu, V'achar kach zachar oid hashlama, mitzad ha-moment.
Okay. Right, we're in the middle of that Maima Chazal. Just one sec, let me get the other chelik. That's in the Siv Emuna, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let me just skip one second. Okay, I have the other chalik here. Good to go. Okay, one second. What amud is it?
Reish?
Reish yod, divrei makro v'achar kach.
Okay, good. So he's talking here about the different hemidon alachas of the Nevi'im and so on. So there was a general point where he said that it's going to be all on Emuna, you know, Tzadik Musa Yechia, so that's going to be like, that's where he's coming to this point, but he's, as is Derech, he's Mazbe each one individually. I want to discuss lokach. I want to discuss the point in general a little bit in its own right. We always find it very strange, the musig of yesh mishem amoyne chaval of migufay, and so on. It almost seems absurd to us. I remember when we were little kids, young kids, there was a story that made the tabloid newspapers in New York, Daily News, that there was this hold-up robber that came into a store and held up an old lady, the storekeeper, and she said, he told the imam in my life, she said, shoot me because I need my money for retirement, for old age. And the robber was so kind of baffled, and he made off, whatever it is, and he didn't touch her. But it was kind of sort of, you know, one of the absurd statements that she said she needs the money for old age, and, you know, he's about to shoot her and so on. But what does it mean, Mamayn al Chavegufa? And the answer is like this. Certainly, a person's self is, I guess you call it his consciousness, his self-awareness. That's obvious. But the question is, what is the self that I am, that I feel myself to exist as? For instance, a person who sees himself as a chacham, and that's his metzias, and then he has to make a decision about an operation that chas v'shalom might affect his kishon and knowledge, would many times say, I don't want, because myself, that's not this right whiz, is not a self. I remember Chaim Shmulevitz, there was a time when they suspected that he had cancer in a tongue, and the operation that they suggested was to basically cut his tongue out. And he asked Reb Elia Lapien what he thinks, and Reb Elia told him that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, without the power to speak, is not Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. And he did not do the operation. In the end, it turned out it was misdiagnosis, and Reb Chaim made a big effort. He went to Slovakia and Farsidim, which was very difficult for Reb Chaim, and he said, he saved my life. But it's sort of a sense of self was his Kor HaDibur. There's a person whose sense of self is his possessions. I'm a person of X assets. I'm a person of a certain diagram of Gershav. And that's how he sees himself. So for that person to be able to give up, he's not interested in a life where his self has to be someone other than the one who possesses X amount of money or so on. So you're talking about, it's not the pshat person likes, it's not a question of taiva. It's a question of self-perception. So he says, when the person is identified with his money, so he says, the two
Rebbe?
Yes.
Is it a chesaron in a mensch? It sounds like from Chazal, it's the metzius. Like some people are like this, some people are like that. We would think that someone identifies with their momen is a big chesaron.
The mitzvah, the Torah is telling you that emuna, in other words, at the fundamental level, it applies to everyone. And every person has a sacrifice to make. And let's take an example. Take a person who really is not materialistic, but is extremely, he's an intellectual. That's his metzias. And he's learning, and he decides halachically that one is not allowed to read the vast percentage of literature that's out there, of valuable literature, of good literature, but it's stuff that you can't read for one reason or another. Are you prepared to give that up? It's a big nisayon for a person. Another person, if he's not driving a fancy car, the fanciest car, he doesn't have a sense of self. Everyone has an akuda that stands between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the self. And each person's self is something else. A person, Lamashal, let's take a frum example. Let's say a person is a big Talmud Chacham, and he's decided he wants to become a great Rosh Yeshiva. And he's in a yeshiva where he has to sort of passively push somebody out of a job, take somebody's job wrongfully, and so on. Is he prepared to not to be Rosh Yeshiva? For him to be an accountant, and be in his mindset, that's a terrible, that's not me. I've been planning to be the world's great Rosh Yeshiva, and you're telling me that the job is not mine, it's and I don't have a right to push the other person out, and therefore I just need to be just an ordinary accountant someplace. So it's a phenomenal nisayon. It's really, we're talking about the self rather than, so for some people it's the goof. Some people, what they show off is their muscles, some people show off their wallet. It's just a question of what a person wants to show off. Some persons show off the tzitzis. You know, it's just at the end of the day, the real point of it is the point of self, the point of what is my metzias. That's why the Torah is telling you, whatever your point of self is, you've got to give it up. So even the person that's why the Torah says Kol Modecha. For some person, that's a hard nisayon. It's very interesting. I always read about the people who didn't leave Germany until it was too late because they couldn't liquidate their assets. And you always thought that, wow, that's crazy. In Arzabira, I had neighbors who owned, two neighbors owned a penthouse. I even remember their names, actually. They were from Persia. They were there when the Shah was there. They were well-to-do, they were wealthy people. And they had bought penthouses, two penthouses in Arzabira. I don't know if they bought a vacation or whatever. They had it. When Khomeini came in power, they ran away, and they came to Arzabira. They couldn't get any of their assets, but they had these nice penthouses. They opened up a small store of tchotchkes, of odds and ends, and they were there, I don't know, for tkufa, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, I don't remember already. And then they paid money and risked their lives to sneak back into Iran, to live in Iran. And they told somebody, we can't go on living like nothings and nobodies. I don't think they were starving to death, but they were kind of low on the totem pole. And they said it's just not worth living that way. I don't want to deprive them. I don't think you're any real religious, but you know, the life was kind of just a fairly, you know, middle class substance kind of, you know, making a living, that's it. And they said they can't. They paid money to sneak back into Iran and to live with this shadow and the knife over the head. So he says, okay. So he says the two things are both of these, he says, are two facets of the same thing. One is when he lends mammon without ribis, it means there's a sense of possessiveness on what I have, that having that being able to give it away for nothing bothers me. It's sort of the real shot in it is that I lose it in that way. If my money can't earn money, then it's really not mine. It's sort of like hefker. So giving money without ribis is somewhat of a hafkos of a person's vitals. So even though, and it's interesting, because giving tzedakah is a different meter, because tzedakah, I felt I gave tzedakah. Gimel Tzchas said, the sense is people have the right to use my money without paying for it. It's almost in a certain way, person doesn't feel instinctively he has that tzedakah sense that he has when he gives, and yet, you know, it's like anyone can come on my lawn and sit down without asking mishus. The flip side is, where the person, shechar anok leloka, so he says that there's not the person doesn't need to take money in order to sort of prove himself and so on. Now it's interesting. You find by Dayanim that they have to be soni betza. They obviously can't take interest. That's pashut. Those have to be people that money doesn't interest them, because somewhere along the line, there's almost no decision where there is not an implication in it for mammonis. I'm choking up a favor with Reuven, and at some point it'll be a chit that I can cash in and use. So the person, in order to, that the only thing that should, in Mishpat, the only thing that should stand in front of the Dayan's eyes is Mishpat. If there's something else that he's attracted to, that makes his heart race, then he's not going to be thinking mishpatik. It's just like, when a person is in a business mode, so his thoughts are on business. The business is going to throw a big party, and you know, and we're going to open up our new center. You don't think when you invite people, you're not thinking of who would feel good about coming. That's not the issue. You say, what are people that is important to keep the cash with? Customers, suppliers, etc. In Mishpat, that's counterproductive. The person needs not to be at all considering anything has to do with mammonis. So, kaparim dozer yiralav tvarim hisl ba'adam ugufay v'ishem ach b'achin atchebel yiralav tvarim yushla mechol hashav sholay. V'zeh she'amah ba'adam yimil yiralav ki be'el yiralav tvarim yishalim gam kin hashlama v'adam mechol. So we spoke about this before, just the musik of hashlama, that we're trying to pick out 11 things that having all of these things gives a person hashlama. We're not looking for 11 mitzvahs out of 613, but if I were to give a good marshal for it, it would be like when you do statistical sampling, if you're not looking to interview 100 people out of 100,000, if you're looking to interview 100 people that are representative out of 100,000, where do I have the same big picture of 100 people as 100,000? So all of these are looking for which mitzvahs can I give a person that holding on to these mitzvahs give a person the same sense of shleimus in a miniature way as all the mitzvahs.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rav Olbi wrote a sefer called Mitzvahs Hashkulas.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever saw it.
He says
the getter there is there, or the tzura of all kola Torah kula. Would you say the same thing here?
But I think in a deeper way, over there you have mitzvahs that in themselves carry the kudos, like tzitzis and so on. Here he's talking about if I were to gather together 11, it's just like Lahabda, let's say you're investing in stocks. You sometimes, if you want to mimic the market, you're looking for X amount of stocks that mimic the market. So here you're looking, and they're kind of disparate. You're talking about a whole bunch of different different stocks that have in common that they sort of mimic the market. Okay. V'machakach bo yeshaya v'midon al shisha. Ki dovet v'nergosa al yoyinu ha'yemashas al madrega al yoyinu yoyisa. Bo yeshaya achakach lahashim gamke yasodem apim ina v'likach v'ashlomo v'odal dvarim v'sofdel mashal. He brought it down to six mitzvahs because he was looking for mitzvahs for a lower daraga. So even for a person that can only hold on really tight to six mitzvahs, they should mimic the whole thing. So this is a different picture of all of them. By the way, let me bring in a parallel point. You have different svarim that deal with explanations of mitzvahs, it's sort of hashkaf of mitzvahs. You have Sefer Charedim and Shari Tshuva in his way, and different svarim. They are broken into different divisions. Now, one breaks it down into different components because you want to be able to have different chapters. So you could do it quite mechanically. All the mitzvahs that are in Brachos, all the mitzvahs in Shavuot, it's Vayikra. It's a division of mitzvahs. It'll make it chapter size. It'll make it, or you could do it by parsha, like the Chinuch did. That's not much chachm in it, but it can be done. I remember the weddings we had all made were at Yisrael with this open seating, and it's never a bother. The first time we made a wedding in America, Hamo Chatanim were very proper people, and after the Ofruf, they sat down with us and said, okay, Rabbi, said, now time to do sitting arrangements. How do we sit everybody? I was kind of a ghost because the last thing I was thinking of doing was, I'd never done it before. I found it to be extremely difficult to figure out who wants to sit next to whom, who doesn't want to sit next to whom, and so on. And it wasn't what it was. So I suggested, I said, why don't we do it alphabetical order? A table for the A's, a table for the B's, a table for the C's. And my machatainist excused me and said, I probably have a lot of other things I want to do, and I can, she'll take care of it to my wife, and she left me out of the mix. I think the idea didn't go over well. But you find sifrei mitzvahs that are more, they go to the heart of it. For instance, you'll have sefer mitzvahs that have keneged evarim. What's connected as Nayim, what's connected to Dayim, what's connected to Akalayim. Those are a lot more helpful in the sense of giving some structure. Even though you're trying to find some organic function that really describes each set of mitzvahs and it gives you a havana in it. The Rambam's prakim. The Rambam links a whole bunch of halachas together under a title called Mamrim, people who are rebellious. So he has Zaken Mamre, he has Betzora Mora. Betzora Mora is a type of a Mamre, and that itself is very enlightening. It's enlightening when he has a set of mitzvahs that are lumped under a title called Ahava. In other words, these are the mitzvahs that reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the daily normal mitzvahs and so on. In the very structure of the outline of it is enlightening if it's Ma'aseh Chachma. So he says, Yeshaya says, I can give you the mitzvahs in a tzura of Tzuras Adam. ואלו שישם עבורם פועלם בודם. ולקח עמה הולך צדוקס על הרגליים, שזור הסעסס צדוקה. וכן עם פרק הבוינה, my time of poshut carried a gimel gamma dalit. Why is gimel's foot stretched out to dalit? Lekach, v'chul it says because gimel dalit is going to do chesed. Lekach hoylech tztokos keneged ragle ha'adam. V'oid nema roidev tztoka. Sha mitzvah zoyis tzorich b'frat tzorich redifa b'chol kocho. I want to maybe just explain this point. It's a fascinating point. He says that the aver that is be'ikah miyuchas to the aver that is miyuchas to chesed is going to be the feet. Because the person should be a rodeh tzedaka. Now, it's something which is. Well, it could apply to person should be running to put on tefillin, person learning over rocks into Mishnah, and so on and so forth. You know, you could apply that metaphor across the board. You know, the Gemara says my time of poshut carried a gimel bal gavadalit shekein darko shgom chasodim loretz achadalit. That it's his derech to run after dalit. If I were kind of writing that, I would say, I would have some other things. I would say it's because a person should be ready to put on tefillin, should be running to learn. Ragla milichsas ben medrash. I mean, you know, it's a metaphor that applies to all mitzvahs. The answer is like this. It goes to the heart. And you see how Chazal's Lashonos are so rich in substance. There are two motions, two basic motions in the world. There is withdrawal and there is spreading out. Implosion, explosion, and so on. Those are the two basic motions in the world. Everything else is a variation of one or the other. Gravity draws everything in, and explosion pushes everything out. And inward and outward motions are really the two basic motions. Everything else is kind of a combination of variation and so on. The world of self is a world of drawing in. That's the Metzius. Li, Shali, Eli, to me means the arrows are all pointing inwards. That's the tsura of self. Chesed, the koyach of chesed, which is hispashtus, chesed is hispashtus, is the koyach and the bria of flowing, of expansion. So you have expansion and you have withdrawal as the two basic ones. The mode of chesed is expansion. The mode of Hifach of Chesed, or Din, or Atzmius, or whichever you want to call it, is a drawing in, and so on. So when a person defines his self, he's putting a circle around a certain area and saying, this is me, this is mine, and this is my place. The organ in the person, the primary organ of his pashtus is the feet. In other words, that which moves a person out is his feet. His hands can reach out somewhat, but the aver in a person, if a person were not to have feet, he would be in one place. He would be always in himself, with himself. So the tenua of chesed is the etzem, the shorish of what the tachas of raglayim is. So raglayim is the aver that that brings a person out of his circle, moves him out, and that's why it's dafka raglayim. So that is the shorish. Yes.
We also find the lashon in Avos, roidev shalom.
Yes.
What's that?
Roidev shalom is also the it means the person that has his Hefer Shalom is when you accentuate the withdrawing, when you accentuate the self. Shalom is the inclusion of the other, whereas the Hefer of Shalom is the exclusion. We think of a fight as an interaction to people. Really, it is the desire to get rid of the other person, the desire not to have the other person able to interact in my sphere of influence. So Shalom is the reaching outwards, expanding. So it is an expansion mode, like all chesed is. Okay, so he says...
Yes. But tomorrow, we didn't say specifically chesed, but tzedakah. Isn't there a distinction?
I don't think that he's making that. And I think it's a okay. V'achar kach oymed devim yeshorim wa dibur v'neged aloshin. So dovim yeshorim is the dibur. So we have the raglayim and the dibur, which the dibur is also, interestingly enough, he doesn't specify this nekuda, but dibur is a moving outward type of mode, because if I were to be in total seclusion, if I were to exclude the world, I'd be secluded, and then I wouldn't be talking to anybody. I mean, I might sort of go bonkers and talk to myself, but there would not be speech to the other if there was Korach HaDibur is also a Korach that reaches out a person, but not in the world of Baisa, rather in a different way. Then he said that there would be somebody who's mois bebetza. Let me just get back to the lashon here. He says, so he says like this. The Mois Bebetza is a much deeper one. It's the Seichel and Das, because Me'isa is only it's something that shayach to the das of a person. You can't do a maisa of being mois or something, but in a fundamental way you have to feel that this is totally alien to you. There's a shleimus in seichel is that the seichel is son advarim shor lahar kaisa. I want to talk about this point as well also. The morale obviously is mitzamtim a little bit in the level of explaining it, but I want to explain some point over here. In the person's kochos hanefesh, the drive, the inner drive of a person lies in his nefesh, which, like what as the morale used the term, which we would talk about a person's drives. You know, I don't want to use the word emotion because that's the right term to use, but a person's drive, and that's one piece. And the second thing would be that the person's drives and, you know, passions and so on. Secondly, the person would, the person's seichel and the person's das. Now, there are two levels of the person's seichel. There are two different ways in which they act. The person's what we'll call nefesh, which would be his passions, his drives, are going to be positive in a sense. They want. I saw something. It's interesting. It's fascinating. It draws me. I'm attracted to it. I want to follow it. you know, and so on and so forth. The person's seichel says, one second, this is not right, this is not good, this doesn't lead anywhere, and so on. Notice the discriminatory aspect of determining where a person is headed to lies in seichel. So he says here, mi'isa and rechika are specific to the person's seichel. The person's das says, no. The person's nefesh is caught up and attracted and fired up, but the koach of being memayas and merachik lies in seichel, because seichel is the critical aspect of it. So if a person's seichel, so even though me'isa itself is kind of a nefesh rejection, but it's seichel that says no. The no is always in seichel. So he says, Zemek, I said, just that Roshu Lahakosim. Vacharkach, Noah Kapov Shemayadayim, Vacharkach Omar, Oitim Oznak Regosnaim, Vacharkach Oitim Einoy Venaim. Regank of Ilishish Dvorah Shal Salam Bakar. So you have these three inyanim that are a person's. So you have Raglayim, Peh, and Das. And then you have the person's Oznayim, Einayim. What else have we skipped here? And Yadayim. So Al Kapanim, so these six Eivarim connected those six things. So the Shleimus of the person is in the Eivarim of a person's Chushim. The Yadayim and Raglayim are part of the Koach HaMishus of a person. The pair and the other ones are part of the other cults of person. So you have that as sort of a setup of the person's a shleimus mitzvah, the person's kareches and nefesh. Okay, I think we'll hold it here because the next piece is a little bit deep. Any questions?
Rabbi, you might want to address this next time, but how come we don't find a description for Hagosha? And also, a general question.
In what sense? What do you mean?
The emotional, you know, the emotional part of the person is the ikka part.
I think that's a very important piece. And let me tell you what I think it is. You find constantly the Torah uses the word lev in a way that makes us kind of uncomfortable, because we know that a person's thought process is in the person's mind. So let's explain it, and I think this goes very much to the heart of what you're saying. If I tell you, if so-and-so came in and, I don't know, he said something very nasty to me, and you look at me, and I've got no reaction. I'm just kind of, yeah. The guy walks out and he asks me, well, what are your feelings about it? And I answer him, you know, this type of voice. Well, he said something. It's insulting to me. I think he meant to insult me. People get insulted or angry. And anger is a negative emotion until somebody insults you. So by definition, I'm angry. That would be, it'd either be a robot or kind of autistic, but that would not be called a hargasha. It would be a pure working of the seichel, and that would that would be very mechanical. Let's say I'm controlling my temper, but you see I've turned red, I've turned white, my hands are shaking, my heart's beating, I'm sweating, or I'm yelling and screaming at my lungs, you would call that anger. So really, those things that you call emotions are the outward, when my tfisa on a situation becomes a physical reality, that's called lev, maven. I can keep my hands under control, I can keep my voice under control, but if you attach something to my heart, if I become excited, my heart's the place that's going to sort of flutter. a lie detector, you detach the heart and the person could be looking calm as cucumber, but his heart is all aflutter, or he's sweating or something like that. So when the Torah describes understanding, grasping, things of that nature, the Torah is really referring to what you refer as argoshes. In the pure mechanical thinking process, doesn't really have, possibly higoyon might be the description of it. The Torah does not distinguish in the way you distinguish. So I have an acquaintance older than me, a few years older than me, lived in New York together. I always admired him. He was like this perfect mystic control over himself. He felt himself to be influenced by Volva's writings and was like a real yucky, and everything was like total perfect control. I admire that control. I mean, more passionate, but I also was kind of, I never figured out, is that right or not? And I always had like a sort of an ambivalent feelings. A friend of mine, a different friend of mine, once went to the Rabbanut to say, to testify that somebody's single. You know, when somebody gets married, for starts, if you want to get a license to get married, you need to aid in whatever it is. So a friend of mine walks into the Rabbanut building, to the Matzah Ratit, and he sees this tzaddik friend of mine, the tzaddik acquaintance of mine, sitting and being Mavis Sedra, very leisurely, very with a lot of feeling. So he says, oh, so-and-so, are you also coming to testify? They're like, what are you doing here? What brings you here? So he motions him to be quiet until he finishes the pasuk, the parasha. He finishes the parasha. He says, I'm divorcing my wife today. And he goes on to the targum with that same tone of voice that I told you. And my friend, the other friend, almost had a heart attack. You know, it was the shock of the divorce, but it was like the tone of voice was like, it's about 10 after 4 now. That was about the expression of how much depth of emotion it was. The Torah doesn't, when the Torah deals with those qualities, the Torah sees the two as sort of acting together. So a wise man is a man whose understanding are his feelings of a situation. That if it's wrong to do, I feel repelled by it. If it's good to do, I'm taken by it. If I can tell you mathematically, yeah, the right thing to do is X, Y, Z, but you know, I'm off to the golf course. The word maven and lave maven and all these things, that's a lot closer to the real meaning of it than the English understanding of it doesn't really do it justice. Okay.
Rav Lopiansky, just one question. Sure. The deeper koyach is the nefesh. The drive is deeper than the emotions. Is that true?
The drive is your innate sense. The emotion is sort of a reaction to it. I have a drive that I want to be successful in X, Y, or Z. That will trigger, am I happy by something? And that's why we spoke, I think, before about simcha, why simcha is so important. If I do a mitzvah appropriate, then I'm very happy with it. Then that makes me very, very, that shows something about my quality as a person and so on. So those haggadahs we're talking about are the reactions. If I'm truly a lev chacham, then chachma sets my heart racing. Then it excites me, and so on. Okay. I'm not sure. I think next I have a chasana. I think either next Thursday, two Thursdays. I'm not sure. 2 weeks from today. I think it's 2 weeks from today. We might have to schedule earlier or a different day of the week. Is there a day of the week that's easier, good or not good, whatever the dilemma is? Or you have time to think about it. We can email it. I can email it to Peter and see what where we're holding. But I think next week is fine. I don't think there's an issue next week. It's in 2 weeks from today on Thursday. Okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.